Welcome to Mama Tills, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. Today, we dive into a question that I feel like has not been answered very well, which is why don't we prepare for C-sections delivery? And even bigger, why do we assume that that is a failure? Just a heads up, this is a video episode. So I did it video first, and you can find that video on YouTube on the Mama Tills podcast channel if that is what you would prefer. But you can listen to the audio here. It's just another one of those things this year that I'm going to be experimenting with. So this is definitely not the final version. Let me just say this is a work in progress, but I really did enjoy working on this episode. So yes, if you want to listen on here, please feel free, go on ahead. But if you want to watch this, you can find it on YouTube on the Mama Tills podcast channel. Okay, let's get into this. Hey, Sally Kuria here. This is Mama Tills podcast. I'm trying to do things a little bit different for this episode. And this episode, we're going to be exploring a question I have had and a question I have seen quite a few times. Why don't we prepare ourselves for C-section births? And even bigger, why do we feel like a C-section is a failure? It's a failure at giving birth. Okay. So throughout this episode, we're going to explore a few things about C-sections. And I'm going to preface it by saying I've had two C-sections for both my kids. That's how I give birth. And a lot of what I'm going to be talking about right now is also very personal and intertwined with my own experience. So let me take you back. Right when I hit 33 weeks, we enrolled for birth classes. My husband and I signed up. We were showing up every Saturday. So that we can learn or be taught how to prepare for birth. Because at 33 weeks, you know it's coming. You know what I mean? I couldn't understand how this big baby inside me was meant to come out of my vagina. A hole I'd seen as the tiniest little thing. I was like, I don't know how that would happen. And week after week, as my belly grew and I lost sight of my feet, the impending quote-unquote doom was coming, right? And my idea was that this class would help calm my nerves a little, help me understand that what's coming my way is natural, I'll be able to handle it. And I think one of the first questions we were asked, which is, now that I think about it in hindsight, is quite an interesting question to ask, was how we wanted to give birth. And as you can imagine, when you ask this question as a first-time mom, your default answer, which was everybody's answer, was I want a normal birth. And for this episode, I'm going to be calling it a vaginal birth because, yeah, I mean, I have my own reservations about calling that just the normal birth. But yeah, that was the right answer because that's exactly what this class was made for. It was to prepare us for vaginal delivery. But let's be honest, after 24 hours of labor, I had to go for a C-section. And that's the first time that I realized I was not in any shape or form prepared for a C-section. I did not know what to expect. And that's what this episode is about. Why do we neglect such a huge part of how women give birth? It was made to feel like every medical intervention is a sign of failure. And once you take one, you'll take the next and the next. And then at the end of it all, you'll have made the biggest failure of them all, which is having a C-section. And that was something you wouldn't talk about because we're not trying to get into this assuming we're failures. So you get this immediate aversion doctors and the hospital. You know, you're like, I'm pregnant, I'm not sick, which is true. I fully agree with that. But you know what that means is that you already enter this place in a very combative way. You're like, I don't want because of this fear of this big failure, which is me taking that painkiller will lead me to a C-section. And that's where the mistake comes along. because of all these expectations you had about how you're going to be giving back, you get extremely overwhelmed when things do not go the way you had planned. And for the first time ever in your very planned pregnancy, you become unprepared. And rolling into that theater, that's the last thing you want to be. So this is what happened to me. I think I was 41 weeks, to the day, I had a water leak. So my water leaked. I went into hospital. I knew it was still early, but because there were signs of meconium in my waters, a timer immediately started. And already I felt like I'd made the first mistake coming to the hospital. So I immediately tell them, you know what, that's fine. I can do this. You've given me 24 hours. I think that's enough time. I'll be able to give birth. Just do not give me anything. Allow me to do this myself. I think I'd even told my husband to come with the bathing ball, right? So that I can be able to bounce around. So I went into the labor room and I kept at my exercise. I think I was doing lunges. I was squatting. I was everything. All those things that I dread to prepare myself for birth. Hours passed. I remember I was checked twice and I hadn't moved. My labor had stalled. And then now came the part I would call failure number two, where 12 hours later, I had to be induced. And I was like, okay, maybe induction is what I need to help me. And already said, again, I started feeling like a failure because now I've done two mistakes. I was supposed to labor at home and now I've come to the hospital and I've been induced. And already in my head, I'm like, okay, now that means I'll end up doing the biggest failure of them all, which is having a C-section. So I get induced, my contractions become stronger. At this point, I can't even move around because I am, of course, in the bed. And another set of hours pass by. And doctor comes, checks one last time. And I think even by that time, I knew what was going on. I knew that my time had run out, 24 hours had lapsed. This baby had to come out one way or another. I looked at my doctor, I was like, I know what you're going to say. You're going to go have a C-section. And it was going to be an emergency C-section because, again, there's a fear of aspiration of the meconium. So as I was being wheeled into that theater, I remember feeling like an absolute mess, right? I had never been to a theater before, so I didn't know what to expect. The most I had in my head was Grey's Anatomy, right? So I go into this theater and it's all green and the people are wearing gumboots. The guy who even took me to theater just looked ominous. I was just like, why are you in like an overall coat and white gumboots? You know what I mean? And a wooden stretcher. I was just like, this doesn't look right, you know? So we go in and then there's like a dozen or so people around me. Someone is giving me forms to sign. I'm still contracting every 2 minutes. I'm asked to sit up for them to injects me. No one is telling me what this is. I don't know what injection this is. But the first round, I think the guy nicked something that shouldn't have and my legs shoot up. And I was like, what if I'm not able to walk after this? You know, no one is explaining because in their heads, this is an emergency. And for you, all of a sudden, you're in control and you're not in control. So imagine if the meds are done, I get to lie down. As my body's getting now, I'm hearing someone shaving and I'm like, wait, are they shaving me with like a razor? I hadn't even thought about that, you know, and I'm being draped and I'm being asked questions. Have I done this? The doctors are checking. There's a pediatrician that I didn't even know that I needed to have a pediatrician beforehand. Like it's a mess. It's a mess and I'm shaking. That's the other part about it. I'm shaking so much. I'm like, am I cold? What is going on? Right? So I lie down and then they cut me open. At this time, I remember the doctor was telling me, try the best that you can so that you don't reach for your baby. I'm like, I can't even control my shakes. So I can't tell what I will do. I'm like, why wasn't I restrained? Should I be restrained as I give birth? You know? Anyway, so they cut me open and then I think my daughter was stuck somewhere. So they're asking other people to come help push my daughter from the top And even I remember my daughter asking me to push. I'm like, is she just saying that for the sake of it? Is there something that I'm doing here? Is she trying to give me the experience of pushing a baby or not? Like, it was just, it was hectic. It was hectic. Eventually, my daughter comes out. I'm crying. I'm sobbing. I can hear her crying. I can barely see her because the other thing about it is I had to go into surgery without my glasses. And as a very short-sighted person, I might as well have been seeing a blur this whole time. So I see this reddish blur, and I'm like, that's my daughter. But as in the middle of my tears, I start realizing, I was told I could feel the pressure, but not pain. But I start second-guessing myself. I'm like, I'm feeling something, but I don't think it's pressure anymore. And I debate in my head going over and over again, am I going to say something or am I just going to keep quiet? Gets to a point where it's now becoming a bit much, and I say, and I tell my doctor, you know what, I feel like there's something wrong. I feel like you're under you're under my breast. But I know logically there's no single way that she could be there. But you see, that's what I feel. And I could see the color drain from her face. And she's just like, that's Sally, what have you said? I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm feeling. And then immediately it hit her. The meds were wearing off. I'm like, they eventually tell me that, you know, she's shouting, show her her baby now, show her her baby now. I'm like, is this the end? That's the closest to death I ever felt. I mean, it's been years. It's been a good 4 years, well, almost, but I just remember the feeling of helplessness. Of loneliness. I'm alone in a strange place with strange people, cut open. And that's not how I thought I would become a mother, you know? Oh no, I was not meant to cry. I've told this story so many times, I don't know why. You know, it feels different right now. Anyway, so I think she talks, the pediatrician, I told the pediatrician that I can't see much of anything. So when she's supposed to bring me my daughter to bring her close, but I think she went too far, she brought her way too close, so I couldn't see anything either. But I remember thinking, at least I've seen her. Whatever happens, I've seen her. And then I go under. I don't even know at what point I went under, but I went under because I woke up much later in another green room. So now I realized it's recovery. Still, I couldn't see anything. I didn't know that once after surgery, you go to a recovery room. I don't know where I expected to go, to be honest. Oh, man. But I remember touching my stomach and I was like, she's not there, right? But where is she? You know, I get wheeled out. I'm taken back to my room. I keep asking for my daughter, but I'm like, you'll see her in the morning. It's the first time I'm separated from my child. And I mean, I couldn't help but feel like that's not how this was supposed to. I didn't know that this could happen. Everything just went out skin to skin, or should we go an hour, or like extended attachment, you know, all of it just went. Yeah, I mean, the first time was rough. My second was a little bit better because having gone through it the first time, and this one was scheduled, so I knew everything, and I knew how to prepare myself for what's coming, both physically and most importantly, mentally. And for me, the purpose to make this video, I just want to give a sob story because, first of all, it was not meant to be a sob story. That's not what this was. But I'm like, when I went in the second time, I was so prepared. And the biggest thing for me was that I knew that I'm delivering my son this way and I'm not a failure for doing it that way. It was not a mistake. I didn't do anything wrong. This is just the path that I'm on. And because that's it, I will not have any unrealistic expectations because I've gone down the knife once. Then I know what's coming my way. Yeah. So here's a part now where I actually give you the things that I think are necessary when you're preparing for a C-section. And it's not just from my experience. I scoured one of my favorite places to be at these days. That's Reddit. I don't know why. It just feels so humanly because it's actual experiences. I did not grab this from Google. So here are the most common things, and a lot of them actually happened to me, is that, one, you're very likely, highly, highly likely to shiver and shake. And in an uncontrollable way, you have little control of like what's happening with your arms. You can't stop the shivering. And apparently this is how some people react to the meds. Even for me, the shivering started after I got the medication, or as I was getting the medication. Probably it's something to do with the inducing thing. I don't know. However, the case is that you're most likely to shake. And actually how I prepared myself for the second one, because you also feel very, very cold, is for the second one, I don't know if it's because just that doctor was, anesthesiologist was just more prepared, but they had warm blankets and towels that they would just keep draping over me. Once it gets to room temp, they just get me another one. And that just calmed everything down. You can get an emergency C-section at any point of your labor, whether it's at the very beginning or when you're 10 centimeters dilated. So long as there's a danger to either your child or you, or something's happened, you might find yourself in theater. And you can feel very bad, especially, I can imagine this, after going through such an intense labor, then all of a sudden you feel like you're getting out of it. You're told, no, actually, we need to do a CS. And I remember for me, it was just like, we could have gotten here earlier if you just told me, just like, you know, scrap the 24-hour labor and just get to the CS immediately. But I think it's good for you to mentally know that it can happen at any one point of your laboring, whether it's at the very beginning or at the very, very end, when you think you're out of it completely. And then, especially an emergency section, it can be very jarring. Remember the word emergency. It's not for jokes, right? So there's going to be a lot of activity around you, as opposed to when you're in a delivery room and you're like one or two people in there. One emergency surgery, it's a whole surgical team. And I'm assuming even for teaching places, there's even like students in there. So it's going to be a lot more frenzied. Things are going to be moving fast. C-section itself is a very fast surgery because they need to get the baby out in under 15 minutes or even less. But I think with an emergency, which was different from my scheduled one didn't seem that crazy. Everyone was fine. Everyone was chill. Things were going right on time. But for the emergency one, it was pandemonium, right? So I think that's something you have to keep in head. If you do find yourself an emergency C-section, know that's going to be a frenzied mess. And then there's all these things that were going to happen to you. Like I said, I felt myself being shaved. Later on, when I was talking to a friend, I hadn't even realized that you get a catheter. A catheter is a tube that goes in your urethra, I think, to empty out your bladder. I don't remember that happening to me, but it definitely happened to you. So that's going to happen. You're going to get a spinal block, right? So at some point, you have to sit still. Even if you're mid-contractions or whatever, you have to sit still and you'll get this. So there's all those little things that are going to be happening. And you might not be engaged in the process as much as you would be in a vaginal birth. You know, the way someone is talking to you, do you feel a contraction? Do you feel this? For them, you're a patient on a table. So you might not really have that much input. So you might feel like things are happening to you instead of you being part of the process. And I think that's another big thing that makes you feel disassociated from the whole thing. And then, like for me, and I think for a lot of other people, you might not be able to hold your baby immediately they come out. You know, we've been taught and told that skin-to-skin contact is so important those first few hours. And you'd feel like an absolute failure if you do not do that, right? But to be honest, when you're splayed on a table with very little control with what you can do, it's going to be very difficult for you to hold your baby. And I want to just say it's fine. I didn't hold any of my babies for the first couple of hours after they were born. I think even for my daughter, I never did skin to skin anywhere. We're fine. We didn't die. You know what I mean? And for my son, I did skin to skin. I think it must have been like 7 hours later, and it was okay, right? I didn't want that to be the one thing that ruins everything for me. And I think it's important to just know that. And then you might want to get comfortable with granny underwear. Just big, I don't want to call it ugly because it's one of my favorite underwears to wear even now. But you need something to be able to go over the incision so that you give yourself some time to heal. Disposable underwear is great for the first week or two. Like really, not the briefs, just like get the whole thing. Even if it gets under your boobs, sis, I think it's okay. So long as we're keeping your site clean and clear. And a lot of normal underwear just sits right on it. So you just need the big stuff. If you haven't got any, stock up on them. Just have them by just in case you end up having a C-section. Things will feel like they're plopping around. And by things, I mean your organs. I think I felt the urge to keep holding my belly when I would walk up because it feels like everything has gone down to the abdomen. Like everything has just, you know, like there's no hakuna structure. I don't know if this is the same thing with vaginal birth, but there's that feeling. And then because you have the incision, right, it feels like everything is hanging on you. I've read a lot about, at least from Reddit, people talking about getting a belly band. I never used one, but I see how it would be useful to just have something to wrap yourself to the point where you start feeling some bit of confidence in your core, because your core is obliterated with this thing. Already pregnancy is not nice for the core, right? You're stretching and stretching a lot of things. And then for a C-section, your muscles are like spread apart. I don't know if they're cut, but there's something that happens. And so your core feels weak. So that is something. And then another thing, you know, they tell you that pooping is difficult. But I mean, for me, it was later. I think that's a story for a whole other thing. But peeing, that's the underrated thing, right? Because I think, I don't know how it is for vaginal birth. Maybe peeing is, I'm not sure. Let me not say things that I don't know. But with a C-section, so many things can affect how you pee. I've read about people who had the catheter kept in even after they went home to help them fully empty the bladder, because the bladder can be a very excruciating source of pain, which happened to me the second time around. After surgery, hours later, I'm being given meds and I'm being given pain meds, and I keep calling the nurse. I'm like, it's not right. Nothing. And she's like, I'm giving you high-grade narcotics. I'm like, then they're crap because I am in serious pain. It almost made me feel like they're invalidating my pain. You know what I mean? I'm like, is it because it's the second time I'm doing this? Is there something wrong with me? But I didn't have to worry. Why? She just actually came and asked me, when's the last time you peed? I was like, that's such an intrusive question to ask me. Why are you asking me when I peed last? But then I realized I hadn't peed since the... must have been the night before the surgery. Like, I hadn't peed for... at that point, it was coming to over 12 hours.
And my body hadn't registered how to tell me that I need to pee. So I was in agony because my bladder is full, like fuller than full. So I had to like make this excruciating walk to pee and stuff. And because it took a while for my body to understand or to get that cue to pee, so every 3 hours I had to just wake up and go. They don't tell you about that, do they? Mm-mm. And the pain is nothing you should be ashamed about. You know, I mean, vaginal births are excruciating, painful. But there's a sense of relief when the baby comes out. That's what I've been told. I haven't experienced it, but that's what I've been told. With a C-section, the pain lasts with you weeks upon weeks after delivery because it was a major surgery. Always remember that fact, that a C-section is a major surgery that needs to be treated with medicine and painkillers. So there is no shame about pain. You just need to give yourself grace, understand that this is happening because I did a big thing, you know, and give yourself the grace to just heal from it. Yeah, I think that's the thing I was saying. And I wish I had prepared for at least for my first birth, but now I feel like I'm a pro with these sections. Can't throw me anything. Oh, another one. I don't know if it's the same with vaginal births, but there's the gas works in mysterious ways. You can actually see a gas bubble move across your abdomen. And someone was even saying that they could even feel like it's in their shoulders. I don't know how that's true, but but yeah, gas is a thing. So do not get ashamed about letting gas out, whether it's burping or farting or whatever. It's gonna be worse if it stays in your body. And then after birth, there's gonna be a whole lot of judgment for how you give birth, if you give birth first, yes. Conversion usually goes like this. You're called, hey, yeah, I gave birth. Wow, it's a beautiful baby girl. How did you give birth? I did it normal way. But if you do say you had a C-section, I can 100% guarantee you that you'll back it up with why it had to be a C-section. Like you're defending the fact that you give birth through a C-section. Which, I mean, that's a bigger thing to handle right now. It's not because of how much it's been drilled on us, just how much of a failure a CS is, you feel like you have to really back it up. And if you think about it now, like, yes, there's been a rise, but you also have to think about the prenatal care has improved over the last 50, 70 years, you know? So babies are getting bigger, if anything. Women's lifestyle are changing. A lot of us are working. We're seated at desks all day, every day. And then people do that even to the end of their pregnancies. I don't know how those things affect things, but they do. They must have something to do with this thing. So instead of viewing a CS as a failure, how about we just look at it as a different way of giving birth, as another way we give birth? And even you will know. As you're there in labor, you will absolutely know. Your body will tell you exactly what you need and when things escalate. I knew, right, that my labor had stalled. No doctor had to tell me that it had stopped. I knew personally that this is not going anywhere. I'd never been in labor before. But you know, so you have to just trust yourself. Right. And the best and the purpose of this episode is to just, at the very least, what I want you to get out of it is that there needs to be some type of preparation too for the enormity of what a CS is. Because of how ashamed we are about it, we let women get into it blind, right? And they end up having consequences and feelings that are just not fair. Yet at the end, there's you healthy and there's a healthy baby And that's, isn't that the point of giving birth? Isn't that what we are all aiming for? My time's running out. My kids are coming upstairs. So let me wrap this up. So that's exactly the point of this episode. And I hope it's left you with some thinking, whether this is for you, whether it's not for you, right? I just hope it just left some type of thought. So do you have any questions that you'd like me to explore? Any questions that you'd like me to answer? Deep dive in, let me know. You can do that either in my DMs at Mama Tales Podcast, either on TikTok or Instagram. You can comment if you're watching this on YouTube. You can also, so if you're listening to this on Spotify Mobile, you can also just write in your request, your question, whatever it is. I'll see it and I will make a point of answering it. Next week, we will tackle another interesting question. What are the things that you expected to know as a new mom or as a new parent, but are not that obvious? I am still doing stories. I'm actually in a recording spree. So if you want to record your story, share something about your parenting journey that has left an impact on you, we would love, love, love to hear it. Let me know by filling out the storyteller form. You can find that on the website, mamatillspodcast.com. I will also link it in the show notes of this episode as well as the description if you're listening to this on YouTube. Remember that your story is powerful, it's impactful. You have no idea how much it would help a parent. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for sticking through to the end. I will see you next week.